You have very close relationships with your colleagues.
Well, I don't know. I guess I have a problem with the definition of what a close relationship is. I think that there's a lot of mutual admiration. I think that that for some people who work for me, we have quite a good relationship and almost a friendly relationship. I'm very careful about that because I think that if you allow friendship to creep in too much, it's very difficult to be a supervisor. I am not considered an easy person to work for. I am very demanding. And if someone is good and a self-starter, and if they do well, they love to work for me because I give them lots of freedom and I'm a great delegator. But if someone is lazy, or if they're incompetent, and not even that to the extreme, but if they even border on that, then they usually hate me because I am very demanding and I say to them, hey, what Truman said, the buck stops with you and you better do this because if you don't do this, then the buck stops with me and I'm not going to be held responsible for you if you're not doing the job. So some of the people who work for me, I think, see me as a mother figure. The offenders who work for me very often see me as a mother figure, and many of the offenders do, too. After all these years, some of the offenders who work for me still call and ask for me only.
Aren't they in a position to understand that you can do so much for them?
Well, they are, and they do understand that. But there are people who, there are people who, I don't know. But I'm not easy to work for. And some people, there are people who don't like me, some of my colleagues, because they're in a power struggle. I'm not in a power struggle, but somehow they see themselves. I mean, I don't need any more power than I have. I've got all I need. I'm getting older, and I probably would like to do something else at some point. But I think there are people who do see themselves, and they don't like me because they see me as too much power, and they, and I recognize that, too. I try to be nice to everybody. I tell everyone, you never know who you're talking to, but at the same time, when somebody does something wrong, I can have a terrible temper. And the other day, they let a woman into our center, I have been telling them forever they let too many people in. It's a correctional facility, and you've got to be careful who you let in. And they let a woman in there who came in to get somebody else's baby, to steal somebody else's baby, and it worked out all right. But I had the director on the phone, and she's worked for me for 15 years, but by the time I was finished with her, she was dissolved in tears. When my associate director went up there yesterday, she said, Charlotte, they wouldn't let me in. But she learned something, And so I'm telling you, I'm not easy to work for. So I try to separate that. And over the years, those are not my friends. Those are not my close friends. And yet we have very close relationships with many of them that I feel close to. I don't know how to explain that exactly, but I keep that very separate. In Pittsburgh, most of our social friends are my husband's friends, interestingly. I don't know why that's evolved that way, but they are. In Florida, most of the friends are people that really I've made friends with, and we're all friends. Most of our friends, we live in an area in Florida which is about 20% Jewish. And, of course, my husband is not Jewish, and yet all of our friends are Jewish, all of them, in Florida. And I have some very close relationships there, closer than I've had here for years.
How long do you stay there when you go?
Oh, it depends. This year we were down for 3 weeks in December and then stayed, and then we're going the end of next week, and we'll go the first week in March and for 2 weeks in April. But next year we hope to go from December 15th to February 15th. I have to talk to my board about that and see if we can do that.
And whereabouts do you go in Florida?
Jupiter. We have a home in Jupiter. But, it's hard to say what a relationship is. I feel very close to some of the people who work for me, indeed, very close. And many of the young women who have worked for me, who no longer work for me, are now my friends. And I have a lot of friends who are about 40, because they're all these little friends that I made when I was 40 and they were 20. And it's sort of interesting that those friendships continue to be. My daughter's better at this than I am. She has every friend. She has friends that she has been friendly with since she was a baby and all through Churchill and all through college. And when they had a shower for her the day before her wedding, you wouldn't believe it. All we did was cry. I mean, and she has done a good job of keeping in touch with all of them. That is not my thing. I keep moving on to the next thing. And I guess I leave people in my trail, and I don't know why. It's too bad.
What do you view as your most successful accomplishments, successes?
Well, because of what I see around here every day, you're going to think this is a very mushy kind of thing, but because of what I see around here every day, I think my most successful accomplishments are my children. I think the fact that they are so successful and such nice kids and so articulate, and that when they sit down at the, and my husband says he gets bored with hearing the same stories over and over, which is kind of funny, but he doesn't appreciate the fact that there aren't very many families where kids sit around who are successful 30-year-olds and talk about the stories that their mother used to read to them in bed and laugh and talk about the songs that we used to sing and where we went together. And their childhoods are so remarkably happy and fulfilling that that certainly has to be the best. I think I was a wonderful mother to them.
That's very important.
And I think that's probably the most important thing. And that's the most important thing that any Jewish mother can do for her Jewish children. And my son, even though he's married to a Gentile girl, gives tremendous amounts of money to Israel. And they live in Jupiter, and they work for the United Jewish Federation down there and help to raise money and do all their public relations for them, including my daughter-in-law. And so I think, that I've done a good job for them. That's probably my best accomplishment. I don't know. We used to... I think she wants you to turn. I think one of the things, you'll be surprised that I'm not sure that the program for female offenders is the thing that I feel the most. I think I told you that my sons and I did Your Neighbor Celebrates. I did tell you that for a year. Didn't I tell you that? For B'nai B'rith, for Anti-Defamation League, that we did a program in convents and churches. I'm sure I told you that, didn't I? Oh, well, when I was working with ADL and B'nai B'rith, we did a program in churches all over the area called Your Neighbor Celebrates. And first I took my first son, and then when I thought he wasn't cute anymore, I took my middle son. I think that it attributed to his success. And we did a terrific program for convents and Catholic schools all over here, and a program called Your Neighbor Celebrates that I wrote. And it's part of the Anti-Defamation League material, but I took it and expanded it. And when we first started, my son would say a little bracha over the wine, and I would do the candles, and we would talk about, and this you've got to remember is 25, 30 years ago, and when we used to say to groups, the Passover was Jesus' Last Supper, they used to gasp. And I'd say, because Jesus was a Jew, you almost had everybody fainting in the audience because they didn't even know that only 30 years ago. And especially with my middle son, Danny, it just grew and grew and grew until finally when he was bar mitzvah, he was doing his whole Haftorah for these audiences. And I think that, and that was a very fine thing that we did. And Danny and I became very close. And Danny was very, very shy. And I think it gave him an opportunity now. Of course, he's very successful and has just been named president of his advertising agency, which is the third largest direct marketing agency in the world, and at 34 years old. And I think a lot of it comes from him standing up in front of these groups and the poise that he had. I can remember a woman walking up to him and saying, "As you stood there tonight, Danny, all I could think of was our Savior." And I think about this little kid who was like 10 years old who said very, very, with much poise, "Oh, thank you very much," and then got in the car and said, "Oh, mother," and laughed and laughed and laughed. So I think that that was, and I think that was a good thing that we did, that Your Neighbor Celebrates. I think some of the things that I did for women in the urban crisis, the lunch programs and the breakfast program, were something that I feel good about. And I certainly feel good about the program for female offenders. It is, Mo Coleman says it's the fastest growing social service agency in the world. And I don't know if it's that, but certainly it's been a lot of hard work. I've enjoyed it tremendously, but I think it's I think I've made a contribution. I've made some contribution to the literature. I've written a great deal. I've certainly employed a lot of people, and that's not bad. I have 102 employees right now. And I think we've helped a lot of young women. And I told you, I've never had an unsuccessful Jewish offender. I've got my next one now who just went back into drug treatment. Hopefully she's going to be all right. But I think we've helped a lot of women, and that's certainly great. But I guess my kids, because after all, they're the ones who are going to keep
carrying on,
and they will keep contributing. And that's probably the best thing I did.
You've lived in Pittsburgh for a while now.
More than any place else.
After all your many moves. Have you noticed any great changes in Pittsburgh since you've been here, culturally, politically, environmentally?
Yeah, well, of course, there are a lot environmentally. We all know when I first moved here, even though it wasn't during the era, it was 1954, much of that dirt and snow was, but today it's such a beautifully clean city, and it's, as I travel around, it's amazing to me that people don't realize, they still think it's dirty, they still think Pittsburgh's dirty. So that changed. Politically, sure, because when we were growing up in Pittsburgh, young people in Pittsburgh, you had the Davy Lawrences, you had a school board that was appointed with very marvelous, upstanding people on that school board, like Dr. Kibbe from CMU, who I'm sure you remember, and many of the other ones, and a city council that, although was practically put in place by Davy Lawrence, it was very responsible.
And responsive.
As you see, democracy isn't always the best answer, I guess. So there's a lot of change politically. But Pittsburgh is, I hated Pittsburgh when I moved here. I moved here kicking and screaming because I moved from North Carolina, of all the places in the world, and I thought I would hate it. In the first 5 years, we lived out in North Versailles Township. And I really, there was no Jewish community out there at all, except what I did with the McKeesport community. And I really did not like Pittsburgh. And it wasn't until I really began to move into the city stuff and out of the suburbs and with B'nai B'rith, really, that I began to love it. And then I realized that the people in Pittsburgh are absolutely amazing. Marvelous. I mean, you know, somebody said something to me once about, I can't imagine Pittsburgh having this kind of a program for female offenders. And I said, I can't imagine any place but Pittsburgh. being that supportive.
Why do you say that?
It's just the people. You know, you walk around the courthouse, and once you know people, I never walk around. I would never go down to the courthouse without my hair combed, you know, because there's always somebody out there who knows you, who stops, who'll hug you, who'll talk to you. It's the only place in the world I know of where cars in traffic take turns without a cop. As a matter of fact, if you left the cops alone, you'd never have any traffic problems in Pittsburgh. It's just an amazing town. It's very amazingly friendly, and people work together, I think.
I don't think people realize the cultural advantages in Pittsburgh.
Well, sure. And we've seen that, too. When we first came, the ballet was just starting. As a matter of fact, Lottie Falk and I got that social assistance award together from ORT, and that was in 1973 or something like that. That was just when she was starting the ballet. And the opera, of course, I still don't think they have a very good opera, so I shouldn't say much about that. But the symphony is fine, the libraries, the museums, I mean, all the places that we were able to take our children. It's not exactly New York City, but...
You know, there are things in Pittsburgh that a lot of people aren't aware of.
Oh, I know.
For example, I think the best musical program in Pittsburgh is the Chamber Music Series.
Really? Yeah.
It is fabulous. And you'd be surprised. There are just certain people who go to the Chamber Music Series that you don't see anywhere else.
Of course, that's a sort of a taste, too, that's, that certain people, like my husband, would sit through chamber music concert for the world. That just doesn't appeal to him. So that's probably why, you know. But... I'm just saying that my husband remembers Dr. Twersky years and years ago, before there were any Jewish members of the Duquesne Club, coming to St. Francis board meetings with a brown paper bag with his lunch in it. And boy, talk about self-confidence to be able to do that at a place like the Duquesne Club, that when everyone else is being served to open your paper bag and take out your lunch. That's
he's
a really
unusual
neat
man.
Story. Yeah.
What other information would you like to add? Any special honorariums, publications, or anything like that that you'd like to have it include in the records?
Well, I don't know. I think I gave Ruth my resume, and that has all of my, really, it even goes into the past one. It has the past ones. It has all of my appointments and the awards that I've received. I think I mentioned that one of the two of the ones that I felt the most moved by, one was the Thomas Merton Center, which gave me their new Person of the Year award. And that usually goes to a member of the clergy, and I received their second award. That was very moving to me.
What is the Thomas Merton Center?
The Thomas Merton's Catholic Center, and it's liberal Catholics, really. And their first award went to Father McIlvain, and their second award went to went to me, and their third award went to Monsignor Rice, which was kind of interesting. And they did a particularly interesting job that night. Fred Just, who was now works for United Way, but was a priest at the time, Father Fred, in the invocation, and during that he talked about me, and he compared me to Sarah and Ruth and Naomi and what have you. And then a friend of mine did the benediction, and he's a Presbyterian minister, and he was so funny because he compared me to Bathsheba and Delilah and everybody bad in the Bible. It was a wonderful a kind of a tribute that was so many years ago, and yet I said I could have died right then because I had already had it all. And the other one that I think I did mention to you before was the Carlo College President's Award. Those are probably the ones that stand out in my mind as something that have been the most moving to me.
Given an opportunity, what would you have changed?
Well, you know, of course, knowing my personal life, because if you've seen the movie The War of the Roses, you know what the last 9 months of my marriage were like, except that they weren't quite so physical, but they sure were wordy like that. I think, well, maybe I would have changed my choice of a husband. But when you look at the children that come from that marriage, then you say, well, you know, so be it.
It was worth it.
That was worth it if that's the way the children would be. I think that's probably the only other thing that I wish that I had had the wherewithal to make my parents, particularly my mother's life, somewhat easier, because really I didn't. And when she died, I was just in the throes of a divorce. And as a matter of fact, a month before she died, she walked up to the bank and cashed in a bond and sent me $1,000 because she knew that I was having a hard time. So I guess that's something I would have changed, would have been to have given my mother more goodies, you know.
Well, she would have enjoyed your success, too.
Well, she did, anyway. She, whatever I did, she enjoyed. She lived very much vicariously through whatever I accomplished. She always used to say to me, when I came home from school or college, tell me what you learned today. And she would, like, you know, soak it up. It's too bad that she didn't have some of the nice things that I would have liked to, and the nice times and that I could give her today. That's too bad. But that would be the only thing. I think I had a wonderful childhood. My mother was funny, and we used to laugh all the time. And we used to dance in the kitchen. That's how I learned to dance. While something was cooking, we used to dance in the kitchen, do the Charleston and stuff. And my father was a happy person. I was raised like an only child. You can't ask for much more than that, because my brother and sister were that much older than I, 12 years, 8 years. They were practically gone. I had an opportunity to go to college. I took great advantage of that opportunity, and I loved every minute of it. They were 4 wonderful years in my life. And I had wonderful children who I enjoyed. I didn't enjoy my marriage, almost not one day of the 23 years of that relationship, but I loved my kids, and I had a wonderful time with them. I've loved my career, so that in a sense I've had it all. And now to be so lucky to have I have a wonderful husband now. He's handsome and fun and a great companion, and so what can you ask to ever choose? I don't think that I would choose any differently.
Your cup runneth over.
Yeah, it does, and I wouldn't choose anything else.
Thanks very much.
Oh, I enjoyed it. I've never had so much fun in my life.
Talking with you. It's all very interesting, and it gives us an insight to an area that we were not familiar with. And thank you so much. I know they're going to appreciate this.
Thank you for talking to me about it. I think it's so
to get to know you.